Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Recreational marijuana stores were supposed to open in Massachusetts on July 1. Yep, here we are, more than a month later, and they're still not here. State regulators say they are working on approving licenses and certifying an independent testing lab for marijuana. Some potential retailers say they're facing roadblocks as cities and towns issued bans, moratoria, and zoning restrictions on recreational marijuana businesses. So we're asking today, why is this taking so long? And what are people doing in the meantime? Joining us to talk about this is WBUR Statehouse reporter Steve Brown, who's been covering marijuana legalization. Hi there, Steve.
Yeah, hi, Deb.
Also with us in studio, Jim Smith. He's an attorney at Smith, Costello & Crawford, which represents about two dozen cannabis businesses in Massachusetts, right?
Right. Good afternoon.
Okay, welcome. And listeners, we want to hear from you about this. Why do you think it's taking so long for the recreational marijuana industry in Massachusetts to take off? What do you think of these delays? Are you part of some of those working underground to try to get in on the green rush here? Are you a retailer or a cultivator? What are you doing to prepare? And if you were in charge, what would you do to move things along? You can call us at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. And again, we're talking about the July 1st rollout of recreational marijuana in Massachusetts that has not yet happened, even though it's August 14th. So, Steve Brown, how come? Why has this not happened? Give us a brief recap.
Well, the July 1st date is kind of a figment of the imagination. It was in the law originally, but when the legislature redid the law last summer, that date actually disappeared. The law said that the commission can start issuing licenses on June 1st, but the July 1st thing, that was part of the original referendum, but like I say, that kind of disappeared. But people just hung on to that date for some reason, saying that's the date it should start. So if you want to say that the spirit of the law was that July 1st was supposed to be the start date, then they haven't met the spirit of the law. But legally, that July 1st didn't exist. The Cannabis Control Commission said, well, we're going to try to start, you know, issuing licenses around July 1st. And they've been doing that. Those are provisional licenses, however. Mm. They've issued so far 19. About six of them are retail businesses. Many of those are already operating in the medical marijuana industry.
And so they're trying to convert to recreational.
That's right.
But as it stands, as of right now, Steve, there is not one recreational marijuana shop in Massachusetts.
That is correct. As I say, those were provisional licenses. As of last week's Cannabis Control Commission meeting, I had asked the chairman if any of the businesses that had been given the provisional licenses have come back to say, okay, we're ready for the final license. What they have to do is they have to have the commission come in and do an inspection. There's a few other things. But it's basically up to the business to say, okay, we're ready. Give us our final license now. And nobody has come forward to say, yes, give us our final license.
Hmm. So Jim Smith, you're an attorney, as we said, that represents about two dozen cannabis businesses. They want to do business in Massachusetts. So what are they saying about all this?
Well, Steve has it exactly right, Deborah, that people are trying hard to do this. But we should go back a little bit. It's not at really the CCC level, the Cannabis Control Commission level in most cases. You go way back to starting a business in Massachusetts. First of all, the initiative petition, both the medical in 2012 and the adult use in 2016, did not amend the zoning laws. Zoning is sacred in the Commonwealth. Mm. We have 351 separate jurisdictions. We have 351 different sets of rules and regulations. So while this is a legal product, it can be zoned in a way that makes it all but impossible, and in many cases that is exactly what has happened, all but impossible to open. Assuming you get a proper zone, which, by the way, will then lead you to the special permit process, which takes more and more time, so you're not even at the CCC yet, you've got to get a location in that zone if anything is available. Some communities have zoned as few as three or four properties in the entire community. That's all. And if there's nothing for sale or for rent in that spot, in those spaces, mm-hmm. you can't open in that community. Mm-hmm. Assuming you find a location in the community, well, does it have a mortgage? Because the banks might not allow you to lease to a marijuana tenant
right.
for federal legal purposes. So now you might have a location. Then and only then you begin the process locally with the community hearings, with the local boards of selectmen, the city councils, the planning board, the ZBAs. All of this is going on right now, literally as we speak, all across the Commonwealth. But not a lot of these have gotten to the CCC yet. And once the commission gets this, they have a process, legitimately.
So this is just doing business in Massachusetts. It has nothing to do with the fact that it's marijuana.
Oh, I'm
going to
get to that.
I'm going to get to that
point. I can open a liquor store, a tobacco store. I can even open a gun store easier than I can open one of these. Hmm. In every single community we go into across the Commonwealth and all of us go into, a third, 40%, 50%, you know, percent hardcore opponents, oftentimes on these very boards you run into. There are people
in
local level.
We've got 189 communities.
351.
Banned,
oh, I'm sorry, the ban
that
yes.
have banned recreational marijuana.
And many that haven't banned it are all but impossible to enter because of the zoning requirements. You have to get the special permit. You have to get the board, an independently appointed board, to vote yes, oftentimes by a 2/3 vote. That's very, very hard to do. You have community meetings. Believe me, 10, 15, 20 loud folks show up, you're not going to win in that community, even though it's zoned in that community. So this is a long, slow slog. People are afraid of the unknown. They're fearing cannabis. They say, well, it's a gateway drug. We don't want that in our community. I have told every one of them it's in your community. It's at the middle school. It's not that hard. And by the way, that product is not tested. We have no idea what's in it. This product that we're trying to cite in a community is a safe product, tested product.
Same debate that we heard in 2016.
It is not at all. It's very similar, and we're hearing it all across the Commonwealth.
Okay, I want to remind listeners, if you'd like to join in the conversation about this, what do you think about this rollout of recreational marijuana in Massachusetts? Are you trying or hoping that you'll be able to get in on this once it gets rolling? And why do you think there is such a delay? Call us at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. With me in the studio is Jim Smith. He's an attorney at Smith, Costello & Crawford. I also want to go now to one of those local communities, a gentleman from Needham, Dan Matthews. He's chair of the select board in Needham. Hi, Dan. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you. How are you today?
I'm okay. Well, tell us what's happening in Needham in terms of recreational marijuana.
Well, Needham, each community is approaching this differently. In Needham, which is one of the towns which voted against recreational marijuana, even though we have medical marijuana in the town already, exercised its rights, our town meeting, under the law to ban retail marijuana for the time being. As I think we discussed at the time, there's interest here, and there are some towns. We're in an area where some of the towns around us have banned us, and some of the towns near us have it. So there will be marijuana here. And, of course, we already have the medical marijuana, as I said, and the personal use is unaffected. But I think the thinking of our town meeting members and the other civic leaders that were involved in this was, this is a new industry in Massachusetts representing a major change in public policy, and we are particularly looking to see what the experience of this is in Massachusetts. And our law is different than the ones that are put in place in other parts of the country. Some the same and some things that are new. We want to avoid what we think some may encounter problems and unanticipated adverse consequences. We want to understand how the industry works and understand more about best practices. I would expect that the town will probably revisit this once this rollout has
And when proceeded. Do you think, Dan, when do you think that might be? I mean,
well,
that could take
that,
for, I mean, a long time, but right now you're not allowing it in. And, you know, we just heard from Jim, and he says, you know, someone probably in Needham, he didn't say Needham specifically, but in most communities could open, right, Jim Smith, a alcohol liquor store, sell tobacco. You could even sell guns easier than you can sell marijuana.
Well, we don't have any gun shops here, and we allowed our first package stores in 2011. So I think that we try to work within the state law. We try to do things that meet the needs of the community and respond to what people want. And there are people that are here that are both for and against.
Right.
But I think that once we've had a few years of experience, we'll get to see more about how we deal with the public safety, especially motor vehicle operation that's involved with this. We'll know more at the time our town meeting voted. The state had not adopted its social consumption site rules. I don't know if that's happened yet. Those are basically the smoking bars. Mm-hmm. And we want to understand more about the relative, how different kinds of host community agreements are working to assure that the revenues that have been said are available to us are going to be, whether that will really be true, as well as dealing with issues of underage access.
Dan, I want to ask you something, and I also want to ask Jim Smith this, too, because we spoke earlier today with Keith Cooper, who's chief executive of the medical marijuana company Revolutionary Clinics, and that's a company that wants to expand into the recreational market from the medical market. And he talked about this slow rollout, and he said one of the results is a flourishing black market in the state. Let's listen.
The black market is thriving, which is a shame. Illegal delivery services are rampant out there publicly delivering illegal product. It really is a shame that it takes this long to legitimize the market, get the tax dollars flowing in the right direction.
So that, as we said, is Keith Cooper, chief executive of the medical marijuana company Revolutionary Clinics. I'm wondering, Dan Matthews, because
sure,
Jim brought this up, and he said, well, hold on, let me ask the question first. Jim had said earlier that what you do when you have this delay is not only what Keith is talking about, which is this black market, but you're also allowing sort of unregulated, untested product onto the street because of what folks are thinking about. How do you address that in Needham, which has a ban on this?
You get a lot of questions into one question. there's been a black market in marijuana in Massachusetts since before I was born. Mm. And one of the reasons that the voters decided to make the change that they did is because they want to bring this out into the open and tax and regulate and control it, as well as legitimize it and not have this part of the war on drugs. And we understand that. But it's a complicated matter, and it's complicated, and the rollout, I think, is complicated by several things. First, I think a lot of people kind of still have a bad memory of the collapse of the rollout of medical marijuana a few years ago. Our town worked through that, and we have it, but it was really about a four-year process. The process the state is using now is methodical. Our town has followed it, and we work within those guidelines, but for all the reasons you've said, that there's this time that's involved. And then there's a feature that the original referendum had a lot of detail in it that was written by the industry for its own benefit. The fact that the legislature and the opponents said, wait a minute, fine, the public voted to legitimize recreational marijuana, but they didn't authorize this, and this that are in the detail of the bill as initially reacted. That slowed this process down. But, you know, when you look at this as something that is a new industry that takes some time to settle in and have some growing pains, you compare the kinds of things that we've had develop in Massachusetts, even take a look at how alcohol has been dealt with over the centuries here, that it's a careful process.
I get it, Dan. Dan, we got to get to our callers. So hold on. Stand by. I want to go to Jeff, who's calling from Peabody. Jeff, you're on the air. Hello, Jeff. Are you with us?
To bring up one of the points that your caller had made about marijuana being a gateway drug. Obviously, that's the first thing that any fearmongers will do as far as their, trying to fight back against any type of recreational marijuana sites to open. I mean, there's arguments, obviously, up and down about alcohol, alcohol, tobacco, even caffeine would be the gateway drug. Even if any of those arguments have any type of scientific validity to them, is a whole nother question. Mm-hmm. It's really frustrating from the standpoint of possible consumers to see these other drugs and other alcohol being readily sold and readily available anyway, everywhere, and the fact that they have such a strong standpoint and aren't open to new points of view on things such as cannabis and even the fact that it could help with some of the issues of heroin and other things that are really taking people taking and really suffering, and this could possibly help them. And I think any type of elected leaders in our state should really step up to the plate and say, like they've been doing, I'm just very frustrated the fact that there's 190, 189 towns that are fighting against this mm-hmm. with the huge amount of tax revenue that's possibilities. And, yes, other states out west are creating the road for us to follow. And if we're not following what they're doing, we're missing the boat. And the fact that there's so much strong voice opponents to this, they don't represent the vast majority of the electorate that says that this is a good thing and this should be happening. And the fact that those voices are the only ones that are controlling right now is extremely frustrating from at least the way that I see it. Mm-hmm. This is it's a good thing. And I think that it's going to change the way people do business and really take a hit out of the black market to get that stuff off the street that could potentially hurt people and to really regulate it and use it for a good purpose
okay.
in Massachusetts for the tax money and help people.
All right, Jeff, thanks so much for bringing that perspective in. I think, Jim, you had actually mentioned the gateway drug argument has been an argument, but you dispute that.
Oh, absolutely. Dan Matthews did a very nice job, really, I think, of making the case of the issues we run into across the Commonwealth. Let's be cautious. Let's go slow. Let's be careful. Let's wait to see how it happens. Well, it's not going to happen. That's why we're here today. It hasn't happened in the Commonwealth. There's so few communities that are accessible to the industry. And yet this passed, 54% of the voters. Every poll since then, Deborah, has indicated more support across the country, frankly, for adult use cannabis. We don't call it recreational. We don't call it recreational liquor. We call it adult use. Uh-huh. And by the way, for Dan's perspective, I will tell you that you can get into a liquor store under the age of 18. Just walk in. You cannot access any cannabis facility under the age of 21.
Okay,
can't even get in the door.
We have like we have a bigwig on the line who's going to join this conversation with us now. Steve Hoffman, chair of the state's Cannabis Control Commission. You are on the line with us, ready to answer all of these questions and explain to us why why it's
Thank
taking.
You, Deborah. Nice to talk to you.
Welcome. So it's been a month.
Thank you.
What's the major holdup in your mind?
I don't think there's a holdup. I think that the process is working the way it was intended to work. We've met all of our legislative mandates in terms of deadlines, and we have 19 provisional licenses that have been approved. We have a queue of others that are under review. So I think this process is rolling out on time, the way it was intended by the legislature.
What about this sort of notion of the black market and maybe folks
yes.
feeling that July 1 was the date, they're not seeing
right.
anything, and certainly we've heard stories, read stories, some of us maybe even attended events where this black market, this underground market, is active in Massachusetts. And there's no sort of established adult use marijuana sales facility in the state. What do you say about that, Steve?
Well, I say two things. One is I say that the black market has been around for a long time, and I clearly believe that one of the objectives of the legislation is to minimize or eliminate that, and I intend to see that happen under my tenure. But the other thing I'll say is that, again, we're rolling this out. We have met every legislative mandate, so we're rolling this industry out, and it will be a thriving industry. It will be accessible across the state, and it will substantially impact the black market, and it will be a safe product.
Now, last month when we spoke with you, you said that a lack of an independent testing lab was a real issue here. But one of the
right.
big labs that's been testing marijuana, Pro
mm-hmm.
Verde in Milford,
yes.
Said that they haven't been given any guidance about testing and what they're supposed to be doing. So what's going on with the independent testing lab at this point?
I'm not sure. I won't speak for Pro Verde. We've talked to all the medical labs. We have two completed applications that are under review, and it is my expectation that at least one, if not both of them, will be reviewed by the commissioner in our next meeting a week from Thursday. We have two other applications, four in total, that are at least partially completed. So the lab application process is moving along, and as I said, I expect that we'll have one or two up for review next Thursday at our meeting. And since they are operating already, once we give them a provisional license, I think the turnaround to give them a final license, assuming they meet all the conditions of the provisional license, shouldn't be that long. So, I can't say we have labs in place, but I'm comfortable the process is working and that we will have labs up and running when we need them.
What about dealing with local communities? So we heard from Dan Matthews, as you probably were listening in, from Needham. He's the chair of the select board in Needham. And, you know, there's a lot of concern. He wants to see how it's rolling out in other places first. I mean, how are you dealing with the communities?
Well, you know, the law is very clear about what the rights of the various cities and towns around the state are, and we are aggressively working with both individual communities as well as organizations like the Mass Municipal Association to make sure that all their questions are answered, that they understand the regulations. And, you know, I think as somebody, one of the people you've had on already said, you know, we have 351 cities and towns in the state, and they're all different. There are a number of them that are going aggressively after this industry. And so, you know, I think it's going to take a while before it's going to be in every town and city in the state, and probably we'll never get to that point. So I suspect we'll have, you know, a handful of communities that will launch stores initially, and over time, as people see that this is a safe industry, that this is a beneficial industry in terms of jobs, in terms of economic opportunities, in terms of tax revenues, more and more cities and towns will sign up. So, you know, I'm confident in the long term that this process is going to work. I think that it will take a while for cities and towns like Needham to come on board, but I'm comfortable with the vast majority of them will. And I just wanted to, I was listening, one of the things that was said was there's something like 180 cities and towns that have bans. That is not correct. There are 40 plus cities and towns that have banned retail stores or other kinds of marijuana establishments. The remainder have moratoriums, and those moratoriums are planning tools that for the most part, I think with only one or two exceptions, expire by the end of the year. So, you know, I'm comfortable that most of the cities and towns that have moratoriums in place have them in place as legitimate planning tools, and as they expire, those cities and towns will come on board as well.
Okay, so I've got you on the line. I have to ask you this question. So when are we going to see the first store?
I have been asked that question. I don't know that if I quantify the number of times, but lots of times. And I there's no upside in answering with a specific date. What I believe is that late fall, early winter, we will see stores opening in the state. And that is based upon the fact that we have approved 7 retail provisional licenses. My expectation is that they will get back to us relatively soon saying they've met the conditions of those provisional licenses. We'll go out and inspect, and we'll offer, you know, if they have met all those conditions, we will give them final licenses. So my expectation is late fall, early winter, and I have no reason to change that. I'm pretty confident with that forecast.
All right. Steve Hoffman, chair of the state's Cannabis Control Commission. Thanks again for being with us.
Sure, my pleasure.
Jim Smith, an attorney at Smith, Costello & Crawford, which represents 24 cannabis businesses in Massachusetts. I'd like to thank you for your time today as well.
Thank you, Deb.
Also with us was Steve Brown, a WBUR Statehouse reporter, Dan Matthews, chair of the Select Board in Needham. We'd like to thank them as well. That's our show for today, though. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Deborah Becker. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.